One day I think I might get them to edit that a bit shorter, Peter, but how are you? Professor Emeritus Peter Lynham, welcome back to That's the Spirit. How are you?
Yep, I'm excellent, thank you, yes.
Are you feeling spirited having been around the world?
I am indeed, yes, feeling very spirited actually, yeah.
Oh, nice. And are we talking about your travels today or are we talking about something elsewhere in the world?
We are going to talk about the forthcoming apology from the Prime Minister for abuse and care, because that's coming tomorrow morning.
Wow, really?
Yeah, and this is really significant. Though whether the Prime Minister will hit the right tone, this is the interesting question, you see.
Yeah.
Because, actually, I got sent a copy of the full report, and I can tell you that I don't know where on my shelves I can put it, because A4 size, and it's fully 30 or 40 centimetres thick.
Seriously, you know, wow.
Thousands of pages.
Wow.
And a bit daunting, because very few people, I suppose, will read the whole thing. I've read the whole thing, but I'm rather a freak, you see. In these
you respects. Did? You read the whole thing?
Well, they paid me to read it when it was in draft.
Wow.
And so I got to know it pretty well, and then I went back to see how it had changed.
Oh, my goodness.
Interesting.
You know, are there any events or public-facing things where there's going to be a discussion about it more, or is it just going to be the Prime Minister comes out and sees what he says and that they hope it goes away?
Well, I don't know what they are planning. Eric Stanford is the minister in charge of organising responses to this report. It's been out since July. And the report included a timetable of the things that they thought ought to happen.
Mm.
And it's already that the ministers have not stuck to the timetable that the Royal Commission set. Though it's hardly surprising, because they had a very prompt timetable of action, including, incidentally, that the Pope ought to divert on his trip to Indonesia to drop into New Zealand and apologise for those who've been offended by the Catholic Church.
Mm.
So that's been a not gone. I think we're going to, what they would like to get is the 138 recommendations in the report.
Mm-hmm.
That's an enormous number of recommendations, of course.
Mm.
And what ideally the Commission would like to hear is an answer to all of those recommendations, or if not all of them, at least, you see, about 30 of them relate to the churches that were caught up in the report. About 100 refer to what the government ought to do.
Mm.
And the really critical one is, what's the form of compensation that's going to be available for those who gave evidence and are seen to have been victims of the abuse and care?
Now,
and people will be listening for that.
Yeah. Now, can I just rewind a little to include myself on the list of people who don't know too much about this inquiry? I know that it was happening. But abuse and care, like, what does this include? Like, what qualifies as care in this instance? Is this government care or
care includes whenever people were taken into government custody, in effect, as children because they were out of control, they were orphans, or there were various problems in providing for them.
Mm.
And so there's lots and lots of children's homes. Then those who were deemed insane and were placed in various places, especially Lake Alice. And then those who were in boarding schools and were in one way or another either raped by the people in control of the boarding school or raped by fellow pupils, generally older kids in the boarding schools. Or even those who were going to a church youth group and their youth leader abused them in one way or another. So it's partly sexual abuse, it's partly physical abuse, it's partly mental abuse. So the estimate given by the commission, they had 2,000 people who complained of abuse to them. Mm-hmm. They did an estimate that they represent maybe 1% of all the people abused. So they reckon, and it only covered the period from 1950 to 1999, they reckon there were 200,000 people abused in that period. Ugh. It's pretty shocking, isn't it?
Yeah, it's interesting that the report includes what sounds like private care and governmental care as well.
It doesn't include all private care, Matthew, and this actually is one of my criticisms of the report. The churches volunteered to be part of it because they knew that in Australia huge animosity had been aroused by reports of abuse by the churches because they started with allegations about the Catholic and Anglican churches in the Australian case. In New Zealand, it was state care that was the big issue. But the churches thought, well, look, let's us face the music together with the state because we're all entangled. Because very often a person was taken into care and then passed around different organisations. You know, goes to a Methodist children's home and then to a Presbyterian training school and so on and so forth. So what's missing is the big voluntary organisations that aren't religious, the IHC and CCS, the Crippled Children. And we know there was a lot of abuse in those contexts. And it's, to me, a great disappointment that it's not there. But even without that, you know, there's a massive amount of abuse evident.
I just have a text in here saying, interesting that Jerry Brownlee tried to ban the leading journalist on abuse and care from the press gallery, since backtracked due to the backlash. What's that about?
So Newsdesk reported this morning that this reporter, who's been very much on the trail and very worked up about the matter and subjected to ministers to intense questioning, Brownlee, the Speaker of the House, has banned him from attending the press conference where the Prime Minister responds to the allegations. This is absolutely disgraceful, actually, in my opinion.
Well, so, but it sounds like they've backtracked on that. But
well, yes, it doesn't bode well because the state, if it's going to stop people cross-questioning them, is not going to deal with the care. Now, granted, Erica Stanford, the minister who's responsible for coordinating the response, that wasn't her decision, and I think actually quite highly for the way she's taken on the responsibility and tried to coordinate, because the trouble is it covers health department, social welfare, and education, the three really big social ministries. Now, the critical problem is this. The Prime Minister's going to make an apology tomorrow. But what's an apology worth if there's no scheme of redress? You see, what is the state going to do about it? How are they going to compensate people who've been abused, give them support, ensure and create a system that it won't happen again? Now, the report is full of proposals about this. The whole centre of the report, of volume 9 of the report, is about systems of redress and setting up a care agency to which the churches and the state are required to become controlled populations. What do you reckon about that? controlled populations in which all reports of abuse need to go straight to these to this organisation that'll be independent of both state and the churches. Now, that's a very effective way of dealing with it. I suspect we're not going to hear an affirmation of this tomorrow because this is a ministry that wants to save money, and big money's at stake if you're going to compensate people.
And, okay. Oh, well, I always say with you, we wait and see, but this time we really, really do wait and see.
We don't have to wait long. We don't have to wait long.
Yes, exactly. And maybe what we could do is talk about it next week if we...
If there's something interesting, it comes out.
Yeah.
Very good.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. I'm sure we're all interested. The fact you've read it, obviously, there's more you could tell us and talk to us about. But perhaps maybe next week once the apology is out and everything, then we can talk about your other insights, perhaps, if you will.
Very good.
All right. Okay. Thank you so much, as always.
Very good.
Bye-bye. Well, there we go. Yes.